Psalm 23 has to be one of the most well-known passages in Scripture, so I'm sure plenty of you could quote this right along with me. I won't quote it. I'm going to read it because I like to make sure His Word gets said right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Now, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 5, and as Don mentioned, we are right in the middle of a short series about leadership, specifically about the elders of the church, because we're going through a process of selecting additional elders for this congregation. And I asked Don this morning when we last did kind of a process like that, and it's been 5 years. And a lot can happen in 5 years, right? You can get a college degree and be halfway to your master's degree in 5 years, right? We need to revisit these things from time to time, and it's a blessing to us to go back to Scripture. I want to invite and encourage you to be diligent in your studies of this topic, okay? And get your Bible out, jot down some notes. The elders are asking for you to nominate people, to say, here are some people that I see these characteristics in. And you, as a believer, need to take that seriously. Revisit this material, even if you've been in the church a long, long time. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. The Apostle Peter writes to a group of Christians in Asia Minor, a series of churches. He says in chapter 1, who are strangers in the world, scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. A whole group of Christians who are being oppressed, we think, and persecuted. And one person has written a book and described it as church in exile. That's what we have in Asia Minor. And toward the end of this book, Peter, the great apostle, will speak directly to the elders. And he says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In this passage, the function of elders is hinted at, that of being a shepherd of God's flock. And this morning I want to talk about what shepherds do. What is their job? What exactly are they about when we say that they are elders, that they are out shepherding? What exactly does that involve? Before I do that, though, I just want to make a few references to the word elder and what exactly it means. We actually use this in our English language these days, but literally it means older, the older ones, right? And you can literally say of our elders, they're the old guys, you know? And if you want to talk about their function, it's kind of, well, your function is to be old, right? and act old, right, in many ways. No, but we see this. It has to do with the idea of being wise and being those people who are older and supposedly have the wisdom that comes with age. All throughout the Bible, the older person is held up. In our modern age, especially in the last 50 or 60 years, young is kind of what it's all about, and people who are old try to look young and so forth. But you know what? For most of human history, being old is better than being young. Right? It's only the youth revolt that's brought us this change. But the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, is that the elders are to be respected. They're to be honored. They're to be learned from. And in the church, they are to be the leaders. Technically, in the Gospels, the elders of the Jewish community were part of the leadership, the Sanhedrin. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and then with the synagogue, elders would kind of constitute the leadership of the Jewish community. In the New Testament, though, this word will take on a more specific meaning to refer to the leaders of the Christian congregations. We can look through the book of Acts, chapter 11. We see that when a famine in Judea breaks out, the Christians in Antioch up in the north, where the gospel has gone, take up a collection, and they send it by way of Barnabas and Saul, and they send it, quote, to the elders in Jerusalem, who will distribute this money to those who are in need in Jerusalem. We also see that it's not just a Jewish thing. We can't just say, well, yeah, having elders is kind of, yeah, for the Jewish Christians, you know, because they were kind of used to that. No, we see in chapter 14 of Acts that when the gospel goes out, Paul and Barnabas in the regions of Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, in Asia Minor, Gentile country, will appoint elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting. We see in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. You might remember in Acts 15 when the first big issue of the church arises. There's been all this Gentile preaching to the Gentiles, and then the question comes, do they need to follow the law of Moses? Should they be circumcised? Must they follow all the dietary restrictions of the Old Testament? And there is this big discussion. Go back and take a look at Acts chapter 15. One thing you will find interesting, I think, is that the leadership of the Jerusalem church is always referred to as the apostles and the elders. Five times in Acts 15, elders are said to be right there with the apostles, discerning this thorny question of whether Gentiles need to follow the law just like the Jews have done. And then we could also point to Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and following, where we'll come back to that a little bit later in the sermon. When Paul is making his journey back to Jerusalem, he comes by Ephesus and he calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus. And he prays with them and gives them an impassioned commission to watch over the church, to shepherd the church of God. The term elder does not necessarily tell us what the function of an elder is, but here are a few things that I think we can conclude from the use of it in the New Testament. First, they received funds. That's one of the reasons that in the list, in the description of what an elder is supposed to be like, he can't be greedy for money. He has to have a good perspective on money. And so in 1 Peter 5:3, the motivation for being an elder cannot be because you hope that you can line your own pockets from it. But also, I think more importantly, this gets to the issue of being old, and that is being able to exercise spiritual discernment about thorny theological and moral questions that arise in the church. We need that wisdom that is born of age to help with the church questions that come up. Many of the day-to-day functions of an elder, the things that your elders are actively doing in this congregation, there is not a clear-cut yay or nay in Scripture. It involves spiritual discernment and wisdom that comes with time. To reach solutions that are consistent with the gospel, even when the gospel doesn't specifically point to these things. All of these come from the exercise of wisdom gained from a life of faithfulness to God and growth in Christ. Someone asked me this week, is there a specific age to be an elder? I mean, if you say you've got to be an elder, there's older, but does that mean how old? I mean, my daughter Makaira's older than the other ones, right? So, but obviously 13's not, well, almost 13 is not enough to be an elder, right? We don't really have a specific age. then it would be wrong to put one on it. But I think that's where the wisdom of the church, the discernment of the church will come in. Okay? But you're looking for someone who is wise and is older. Also, when the question was raised, does a person that is an elder, they have to already be a deacon? Should they be a deacon right now? We don't have any specific information on that. Usually in most churches, someone who becomes an elder has already been a deacon, either currently or in the past, just because of the nature of that office as well. But it's not necessarily a specific qualification. Many are qualified, and they don't necessarily have to have a specific age or holding a specific office at this point. They need to have wisdom that comes with age. What do they do with this wisdom, though? What do they do with it? The dominant and essential function of the elders in the church is to shepherd the church of God. And that's what their job is to do. What is exactly involved? Here are some things that I think we see in Scripture that I want us to look at this morning that are involved in shepherding. What exactly shepherds do? The first one has to do with nourishing the sheep. Nourishing the sheep. Notice in Psalm 23 it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Now want means lacking something. That's kind of the old English way of saying you lack something. He leads me beside quiet waters and green pastures. That's where you eat. You've got to drink and you've got to eat. And a shepherd, a good shepherd, will be guiding his sheep in the right place where they can eat and drink and be sustained. And this is specifically what biblical shepherds, spiritual shepherds, are also supposed to do. Remember, Peter says to the elders in Asia, I appeal to you as a fellow elder. He is also an elder in the church. And remember, what did Jesus tell him in John chapter 21? Take a look at John 21. We referred to this last week, but I want us to remember it today. John chapter 21, verses 15 and following, Jesus interviews Peter. He asks him, do you love me? And Jesus replies in verse 15, feed my lambs, nourish my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. He said a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. It's the job of a shepherd to make sure that the sheep are fed spiritually. It's their job to make sure that this body has a healthy diet of the Scriptures and that they're being fed it on a regular basis so that they can grow. We know from Scripture that that's how growth happens. It happens that way in the physical realm. If your kids don't eat, they're going to shrivel up. They're not going to grow tall. We kind of make jokes about that, you know, when kids, when they're growing, what have they been feeding you at your house, right? You've grown an inch since I saw you last Christmas. And that's what's supposed to happen naturally. But you know what? A lot of people don't grow. They stay stunted in Christ, largely because they're not feeding on the Word of God. And our shepherds, part of what they're trying to do and what they're supposed to be doing is making sure that's happening. They're supposed to be in your lives saying, hey, how's your study going? How's your prayer life? I haven't seen you at Bible class. You know, that's where you're learning. How come you haven't come? Are you in a life group? Are you growing in that place? A good shepherd's going to be shepherding you in those directions, not because they're kind of in your face or whatever. They love you. And they want you to grow. They want to nourish you. And someone who is a shepherd is concerned about the spiritual diet the people are partaking in. They visit the sick, they comfort the hurting, they encourage the discouraged, they counsel those in crisis, praying with everyone. It's not necessarily that they are teaching up front all the time, but they're teaching by their lives an example, and they're pointing you toward the food. Now, I love this picture up here on the bottom right. Sometimes that's the way we need it, don't we? We need someone to just feed us. I know some of you have been bottle fed by some of our shepherds. They've loved you in that way, haven't they? That's because they're shepherds. That's what they do. They nourish the flock. And boy, we need it. We need it. They also protect the sheep. Take a look at Acts chapter 20. This is that passage where Paul is returning to Jerusalem and he stops in at Ephesus. I've alluded to it already, and it's an important passage for the issue of elders, because in this section of Scripture we see the three words that are used to describe the biblical leaders, elders, overseers, and shepherds, all mentioned together. And it's one of those places where we know for sure that those three terms are being used interchangeably in Scripture. Sometimes you see that in this church, we refer to the shepherd's charge and the elder's charge. They're the same thing, because it's the same person. We don't use the word overseer as much, but we could, biblically. In Acts chapter 20, Paul mentions to these elders here a critical thing. He says, verse 28, "Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. And I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified." One of the many functions of a shepherd is to protect the flock, to protect us from the wolves. Enemies of Christ are on the prowl. This is one of those principles in your Christian life that we've all got to get down, and that is that it's not a neutral situation we're in. God's drawing you to Himself, but Satan is also drawing you away from God, and he has people out there working to draw you away from this church, and away from the Bible, and away from a life of prayer, and away from the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, away from the fellowship of the body of Christ. He's actively doing that, and shepherds of this church are about helping you and protecting you and fighting off those wolves or lions in this picture. In a previous church that I attended, there was a room that the elders met in for prayer every Sunday. And every time I went in there, I felt comforted being in that church. You know why? Because they had two big pictures on the wall. One of a shepherd with a crook kind of guiding the sheep. And another picture of a shepherd with that thing in his hand like this, swinging at wolves. And when they were praying for the church, and when they were praying for me and my family, they saw themselves as defending the sheep, protecting the sheep. That's what a shepherd does. That's what a shepherd does. The word overseer, episkopos, is that other term I was referring to. And it's that idea of a person overseeing. And just imagine that shepherd up on a slight hill looking out, overseeing what's happening. Concerned, not asleep at the wheel, or asleep underneath that tree with his staff laying over his knees, but awake and aware and watching the sheep. We live in a dangerous spiritual world right now. The church has always been in that environment. Spiritualism, religious pluralism, revival of paganism even right now. And they're insidious. They sneak in unawares. Jesus told us about this. And we need elders who are true shepherds, willing to watch out for us. But here's something else too. Shepherds who are willing to suffer for the sheep. That's right, suffer for the sheep. You know, Marshall mentioned in his Lord's Supper talk this morning about Jesus' suffering. Shepherds are working under Him. And if He suffered, they will suffer too. If you've ever been in a scrap with a wild animal, you don't come out without scratches. And if the shepherds are truly watching out for this flock, it's going to hurt them. I've spoken with shepherds who have said to me things like, "It's not easy being a shepherd. People criticize you, they slander you, they question your motives. They say hurtful things. And when you're out there protecting them, they're oftentimes not wanting to be protected. That's what it means to be a shepherd. You're going to be in a scrape, and you're going to suffer, and you're going to get hurt. But it's worth it. It's what God has called some to. And when you become a shepherd, you're embracing service under one who gave everything for the sheep. I think this may be why Peter says in 1 Peter 5, and when the chief, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Don't forget that, shepherds. God is blessing you for your work, and He will bless you even more so when He comes, the chief shepherd appears. I love that vision from Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. There's even a song about it in the contemporary Christian world. Casting crowns, have you heard that song? Who is it that's casting their crowns at the feet of the one who is holy? It's the 24 elders. And we don't know for sure what that is, but I wonder if it's that crown that they've received for their service to the church. Elders will protect the sheep. And lastly, shepherds are about leading the sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, Jesus is referring to His work as the Good Shepherd. And He describes the shepherd and his flock. Verse 1, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter by the sheep pen, or the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now you may be thinking, well, wait a minute, that's about Jesus. That's true. It is about Jesus. But remember, He is the chief shepherd. And the shepherds of this church, of every congregation, in a very real sense, are stepping in for Jesus while He's gone to help lead the flock. If you don't believe that, read Scripture over and over again. This is what they're described as in 1 Peter. Doesn't mean they're perfect, obviously. They're human beings. They're being shaped in the image of Christ. But they're filling in for Him and they're leading us. Not in a domineering way, as we talked about last week, a servant kind of way, but they are leading. And as this picture indicates, the shepherd out in front, guiding the flock forward. You know, as I've reflected upon trends and themes in our discussion about eldership in the last 30 years in the churches of Christ, there has been a correction that has taken place. The old view of the elders has been kind of this, you know, this board of directors who sit around and they, you know, kind of cast down decisions and they kind of flop and everybody, you know, does this or whatever. And that has been correctly criticized. But what has, I think, taken its place in much of the dialogue is over on the whole other side, where the whole shepherding motif, where all you do is go out and pray and hold people's hands and do that kind of thing, but you don't actually lead. I think that is an overcorrection. We need godly men who are willing to say, yes, God has gifted me with leadership. He's placed me in that position. And in a non-domineering way say, let's go this direction, church. Let's go. And lead us forth. Maybe it's because of Watergate. Maybe it's because of the whole youth revolt and not trusting those in authority over you. But oftentimes the sheep don't want to follow the shepherds. Church, read the Scriptures about following those whom God has appointed over us to lead us and submit to their leadership. But I want to also say to the shepherds and those that may become shepherds, God has commissioned you to lead the sheep. Not just put your finger up in the air and see which way the winds are blowing and go that direction. No, God has called you to lead. He's called you to lead. and we must follow. That's why we need godly, proven, loving, wise, seasoned, Christ-loving men to lead the congregation. They're going to take us forward. Elders need to lead. Men who will step out in faith after thoughtful and prayerful consideration and move us on to God's agenda to help us be who God has intended us to be. These are some of the essential functions of being an elder. There are other things we might point to, but I think these capture the essence of what it means to shepherd. The exercise of wisdom on behalf of the congregation, to provide the spiritual nourishment for the body and make sure that we're being fed well. Protect the church from that which would destroy it, but also lead us on to God's agenda, lead us forth. And so my prayer, and I ask that all of our prayers will be this: Lord, give us elders who will nourish our souls, protect us from spiritual predators, and lead us in the direction You would have us go. Give us these men, Lord. Please, appoint them to us. You know, this morning, obviously, this is a series that is designed to teach about a specific thing, leadership and eldership. But I also, as I was reflecting on this material this week, I became so thankful for those who have shepherded me in the past, who have guided me and corrected me and pulled me over here and challenged me and fed me. And I started thinking that there may be people here today who, having heard what shepherds are doing, you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I need that done to me. And I need it done right now. I need someone to help me today. And I wanted to issue an invitation this morning. If you're in that vein, if you're thinking you need some help, you need the prayers of the church and you want to make that known, or you want to have an elder pray for you this morning, I want to make that invitation this morning. As Don leads us in this song in a minute, if you have a need like that, please make it known. But more than anything, brothers and sisters, let's take this seriously, this nomination process. They're asking for your input into who do you see with these kinds of characteristics? Who do you see out there that is possibly in this vein? And remember, a nomination is not, yes, I absolutely know. It says, I suspect, I see these things in this person. There's a whole process here that will include looking them over closely and asking questions. You're going to have an opportunity to read some of the things that they write about their faith and their own life in Christ before this process concluded. But they're asking for you to say, who do you see as potential shepherds of this church? Take that seriously. But if you do have a need at this time, please make it known as Don leads us in, the Lord is my shepherd, and as we stand. Let's stand and sing the song.